According to Fenn, the great preponderance of the evidence indicates that the Shoshone also transmitted smallpox down the Columbia River into the Pacific Northwest. Calloway suggests the Crow as a plausible alternative. Whoever passed on the virus, its effects were still visible a decade later in 1792, when the British navigator George Vancouver led the first European expedition to survey Puget Sound. Like Cook's crew in Kamchatka, he found a charnel house, deserted villages, abandoned fishing boats, human remains promiscuously scattered about the beach in great numbers. Everything they saw suggested that at no very remote period this country had been far more populous than at present. The few suffering survivors, noted Second Lieutenant Peter Puget, were most terribly pitted. Indeed, many have lost their eyes. Europeans were well versed in the brutal logic of quarantine. When plague appeared, they boarded up houses and fled to the countryside. By contrast, the historian Neil Salisbury observed, family and friends in Indian New England gathered at the sufferer's bedside to wait out the illness, a practice that could only have served to spread the disease more rapidly. Even the idea of contagion itself was novel. We had no belief that one man could give a disease to another, the Blackfoot Raider remembered, any more than a wounded man could give his wound to another. Because they knew of no protective measures, the toll was even higher than it would have been. Living in the era of antibiotics, we find it difficult to imagine the simultaneous deaths of siblings, parents, relatives, and friends. As if by a flash of grim light, Indian villages became societies of widows, widowers, and orphans. Parents lost their children, and children were suddenly alone. Rare is the human spirit that remains buoyant in a Holocaust. My people have been so unhappy for so long, they wish to disincrease rather than to multiply, a Paiute woman wrote in 1883. A Lakota winter count memorialized the year 1784 with a stark image, a pox-scarred man alone in a teepee, shooting himself. Disease not only shattered the family bonds that were the underlying foundation of Indian societies, it wiped out the political superstructure at the top. King Liholiho Kamehameha II and Queen Kamamalu of Hawaii visited Great Britain on a diplomatic mission in 1824. While staying in a posh London hotel and attending the theater in the English king's own box, the royal couple and most of the rest of their party came down with measles. It killed the queen on July 8th. The grieving king died 6 days later at the age of 27. The death of the royal couple ushered in a time of social chaos. It was as catastrophic for Hawaii as the death of Huayna Capac for Tawantinsuyu. A particularly poignant loss occurred in the summer of 1701 when the leaders of 40 native nations convened in Montreal to negotiate an end to decades of war among themselves and the French. Death stalked the Congress in the form of influenza. By then, the Indians of the Northeast knew such diseases all too well. Sickness had carried off so many members of the Haudenosaunee that the alliance was forced to replenish itself by adopting abductees and prisoners of war. At the time of the conference, at least a quarter of the Haudenosaunee were former captives. At great personal risk, many Indian leaders attended the conference even after they knew that influenza was in Montreal. Dozens died. Among them was the Huron leader Kondiaronk, a famed orator, who had, more than any other, convened the gathering as a last-ditch effort to avoid internecine conflict. His body was placed on a bed of beaver pelts, covered by a scarlet cloth, and surrounded by a copper pot, a rifle, and a sword.